We're going to talk about Abraham and how Abraham put his faith into action this morning. You know, so far we've discovered in our study here on the lives of men and women in Hebrews chapter 11 that all of the Hebrews, or all of the heroes of the faith rather, they lived in uncertain and trying times, yet their faith remained unshakable. Secondly, we discover that faith is not a tool to manipulate or twist the arm of God to get what we want. Faith is not merely to get, we discovered, but rather the highest purpose of faith is to do right, to live right, regardless of the personal consequences. 2 weeks ago, we talked about Enoch. Enoch was the seventh from Adam, and the Bible says by faith he walked with God in the midst of a vile and perverse generation. And as a result, the Bible said he did not experience death. Only one of two people that have ever lived on this planet, of all the billions that have been here, only two have ever escaped death. One is Elijah, and the other is Enoch. And the Bible says he walked with God. And then Noah, we talked about last week. He believed God for things yet unseen. It had never rained before, let alone ever flooded. And even in the midst of it, even though he had never seen a flood, didn't even know what a flood would be, he built an ark, the Bible says, to save his family, and he became the heir of righteousness. Now, moving on in Hebrews chapter 11 this morning, we come to Abraham. Abraham is called by many the father of the faith, and especially by the Jews, they refer to him as the father of the faith. Abraham is one who literally put his faith into action. Now look at Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8. It says, by faith, Abraham. Now I want you to notice, whenever you go through Hebrews chapter 11, that you'll discover that every time it talks about one of the men or women that are listed in Hebrews 11, it starts out, the introduction to them is by faith. And once again, we find your by faith, Abraham. When he was called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to a city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God. Now go down to verse 14 with me. People who say such things show that they are looking for a country of their own. If they had been thinking of the country they had left, they would have had opportunity to return. Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. Now, the book of Genesis gives us some of the other details about this man called Abraham and his decision to leave Ur of the Chaldees and to go into Israel. Listen to what it says, verse 1, Genesis 12 and verse 1. The Lord said to Abraham, go from your country, your people, and from your father's household to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you, and I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all people on earth will be blessed through you. So Abraham went as the Lord told him, and Lot went with him. Abraham was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. Now, Hebrews chapter 11 clearly tells us that Abraham's actions were solely based on faith. Look at verse 8 once again of Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 8. It says, by faith, Abraham. So by faith, Abraham, the Bible says he obeyed and he went, as you read down further into the paragraph. So by faith, Abraham. Look at verse 9, first part. By faith, it says, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 3 simply says, Abraham believed God and it was credited to him for righteousness. Now, it's important to note then that Abraham was raised in a pagan environment of Ur, which was located in the southern area of Mesopotamia, which is now southern Iraq today. Abraham's ancestors were idolaters. They were polygamous. A polygamous simply means this, or polytheist, rather, I should say. A poly means someone that has many of, and theist is a god. So they're worshipers of many gods. His ancestors were idolaters, and they were polytheists. The entire Mesopotamian region was given over to the worship of Nana, that's spelled N-A-N-N-A, which was the chief astral god. Nana was the moon god, symbolized by the crescent moon. Ur was the home of the temple then of this god, this moon god called Nana. At the temple of Nana, there was lewd sexual practices that were taking place, along with fertility rites and the offering up of sacrifices to the moon god. It is into this pagan environment now of Ur of the Chaldees, Ur, which is now down in southern Iraq. It is into this pagan environment and into this idolatrous family that God reached down one day to start an entire movement of faith that would be built on faith in the Lord God Jehovah alone. You know, reading through the scriptures, it becomes clearly evident that God works through and in families. And if you begin to read through, you'll discover time and time again, it's always Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And then it's Jacob's 12 sons. And so you read, and as you go through Aaron and Aaron's sons, and you'll find that God works in families and God works through families. Now, if you're here this morning and your family is not serving God, I want you to know God's at work. And just as he reached down into this mess there in Ur of the Chaldees, and he takes one by the hand by the name of Abraham, and he says, Abraham, I've got big plans for you. You are going to be a blessing not only to your family, but your family and the extended family and generations to come are all going to be blessed by your act of obedience. So Abraham's decision to place his faith in the Most High God not only affected him, but affected generation after generation. His faith in God rubbed off on his wife Sarah. To a certain degree, it rubbed off on his idol-worshipping father, Terah. It rubbed off on his nephew, Lot. Then to Isaac, his son, and to Jacob, his grandson, and to Jacob's 12 sons, and all the way down through history, right up until this very day of a believing Jew. What he believed and what he started in his faith walk with God literally has touched the world. Friends, I want you to never estimate the power of your influence. The next generation is always watching. And they watched what Abraham had done. And they watched and they saw a man that had such faith in God that he was willing to leave all things behind to go follow after him. One day, God said to Abraham, there in the midst of all this corruption going on in the city of Ur, which was the place of, you know, this worship of the moon and idolatry and paganism and sexuality and perversion and all of this. It was like God said to Abraham one day, I need to get you out of Ur. Are you willing to trust me and go? Even though you will not know your final destination, are you willing to pack up and get moving? Listen once again what it says there in verse 8 of Hebrews 11. By faith, Abraham, notice it's by faith. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place that he'd later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. Abraham's obedience was based on faith. And that decision that he made to be obedient and follow the will and the plan of God was no small decision at all. In Genesis chapter 12 and verse 1, Here's what God said to Abram. He said, I want you to leave your country. That's a big deal. If God would speak to you and say to you, I want you to leave the United States of America, and I'll tell you once you're underway on board the ship where you're headed, how many of us would do so? But Abraham, he heard God say to him, I want you to leave your country. I want you to leave your people. I want you to leave your father's household. And I want you to go to a land that I will show you. And the Bible says, by faith, Abraham obeyed. Now let's put it in the modern vernacular. So Abraham then hears this call of God. I want you to leave Ur of the Chaldees. I want you to leave family, leave all this behind. And I want you to go to a land that I will show you later on as you get underway. And so Abraham, he goes out and he rents himself a U-Haul truck. Then he loads up all of his goods, everything that is, you know, his and of his family and all that he needs to take with him. And then he takes off driving. And as he's driving, he's listening to the still small voice of God that says, this is the way, follow you in it. Do not turn to the left. Do not turn to the right. Stay on this path. And I will lead you, I will guide you to where I want you to be. Now, friends, you need to understand that from Ur to Beersheba, which is in southern Israel, it's down in the Negev area of Israel today, that's a journey of about 1,000 miles. So when he leaves Ur, not sure where he's going to end up, but God is going to guide him. He is going to be the GPS, the God guidance system for him. And he's going to go just day by day, living on faith. Ultimately, he's going to end up 1,000 miles away from Ur. Hardships on the way? Absolutely. Setbacks? You can bet on it. But he kept right on trucking, and he did so by faith. You see, for generations, Abraham's family, they had nested down as a generation after generation living there in Ur. They lived there because the previous generation lived there. But God said in the midst of all of this, I want you to leave Ur of the Chaldees. You know, friends, I've discovered that often the good keeps us from the best. You know, this city of Ur was a rather modern city. And the excavations that have been done there show that not only was, you know, this paganism there, but it was also a beautiful city in many ways. It had a lot of the arts. It had a lot to offer in so many ways. And this was home not only to Abraham, but to Abraham's father, Terah, and to Terah's father. And there was generations. This is where you grew up. And this is where they did life. And so they had nested there as a family and generation after generation for many, many years. And sometimes we just do what others have done. We live in the city where we live because that's where parents lived and that's where grandparents lived and maybe even great-grandparents. And so we are involved in some of the same kind of work. You know, we work in a foundry because they worked in a foundry. And, you know, we're involved in automotive because they were involved in automotive. And we just kind of do. And we hunker down and we get nested into what is normal life for us. So it was for Abraham and for his family. But many times, if we're not careful, we'll miss out on the best that God has for us because we settle for the good of the moment. Friends, God will never call you from good to give you something worse. He always brings you from good to give you something better. And God's got great things in store for you. And I want you to see what God had in store for Abraham. Now in verse 9, it says this then. By faith, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. Notice there, he doesn't quite feel at home there. Ur of the Chaldees, I'm sure, was, you know, going through his mind and what life was like there. And he kind of knew the ins and the outs of it all and the language and, you know, all of this. By faith, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. Now notice, he lived in tents. He did not build permanent dwellings. as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him in the same promise. You know, during my lifetime, I've been privileged to travel and minister in about 60 different nations around the world. Some of the nations, I was there exclusively for ministry, others for fun and only for fun and for leisure. In my travels, you know, I've learned the truth of that saying, that wherever one may roam, there's simply no place like home. And that is true. Wherever you go in all the world, there's nothing like this sense of being at home, where you know how things operate, you know the language, you know where the grocery store is, you know the ropes of just, you know, travel and whether it's, you know, commercial travel or whether it's your own vehicle. It's a feeling of you know what's going on, you feel comfortable in that. And so I love the way when you return back, and not every border agent will do so, but many of them will. When you come through passport control, whether it's in Atlanta or New York or here in Chicago, after they stamp your passport, most of the time, they will say, "Welcome home." You know, there's no feeling like that. Welcome back to your home. Welcome back to your nation. Welcome back. Welcome home. Now, even though Abraham was camping, tenting in the promised land, even though he was there, he intuitively knew that this was not to be his final home. Listen once again to verse 9. By faith, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger. Notice, he did not become too comfortable there. He made his home in the promised land, that is Israel, specifically in the south at Beersheba, like a stranger in a foreign country. Look at verse 9, the last part of it. He lived in tents. Notice there, no permanence about this, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. Abraham knew as good as the promised land was, it was not his ultimate home. And friends, I would just encourage you this morning, don't get too comfortable in this world. This world is not our home. We are citizens of heaven, and God has a plan for each and every one. Verse 10 says, for he was looking forward to a city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God. Notice there, it says he was looking forward to a city with foundations. Foundations speaks of permanence. It speaks of something that's going to be enduring. It's something that is unshakable. And in this case, even something that is eternal. So he was looking beyond Beersheba, looking beyond southern Israel, looking beyond this new place where God had led him, realizing this is fine and good for the moment, but God's got something better in store. When you read it from the King James Version, it reads this way, for he, Abraham, looked for a city which hath foundations. He was saying, by comparison, the tents do not have foundations. And even the cities of Israel do not have foundations. They're here one day and gone the next. And so he says, I'm looking for a city which hath foundations and one whose builder or architect, you might say, is God himself. The last stop on Abraham's journey was in the city of Beersheba, over 1,000 miles away from Ur. It is located, as I mentioned, in the far south of Israel. It's in what is called the Negev. Several years ago, while standing on the precipice of the Tell of Beersheba, the very city that Abraham lived in, there in southern Israel, while standing there, I was standing at a rather high, it's almost looks like an artificial mound, because in a sense it is, a tell. Some of you may or may not know what a tell is. A tell, spelled T-E-L, it's pronounced like T-E-L-L, But a tell is a mound of dirt and sand and debris that is covering a city. A city that was once a vibrant city, a vibrant place, now is nothing but a mound of dirt in the middle of the desert. Looking northward, as I stood on that mound there of Beersheba, matter of fact, just up the road, just a piece from there, is the Jezreel Valley, where the Battle of Armageddon is going to be fought. And there in the Valley of Megiddo, there is the city of Megiddo. And in this Jezreel Valley, this town called Megiddo, literally, there was a city, and then it was destroyed. And they just leveled it off and built another city on top of it. And they did it 20 times. 20, think about that. They went through and just, it's almost like a cake with multi-layers. You can look and see all the various generations and cultures until there's a mound and a mountain. And so I'm standing on top of this mound, this literal mountain built, right over as the sand of time and dirt has covered the city of Beersheba, looking to the north, looking towards Jerusalem. And as I stood there, I was thinking, this is the very sight that Abraham would have seen. And it's a phenomenal thing to think that you're standing in the city, actually on top of the city, where Abraham lived all of those centuries ago. And as I'm looking towards the north, I notice there's a mound over here and another mound over there and a mound up there. And so I asked our guide, Danny Levy, which is a Yemenite Jew from South Yemen, there's our guide in Israel. And I said to Danny, I see all of these humps, these mounds of dirt across the Negev desert. I said, what are they? Oh, he said, those were once cities. And now the desert sands have blown over them. The dirt has blown over them. And great cities that were once massive cities in some cases, they're nothing more than a tell. A place where one city stood, now nothing more than just a pile of dirt. He said, if you go throughout Israel, there are more than 200 of these tells. So I want you to think about that. 200 cities that were once filled with people, filled with homes, commerce, children playing in the streets. Now they're all gone, and they're buried under mounds of sand and dirt. Standing there, seeing that sight, standing right on top of the city that Abraham lived in, and seeing those mounds, it dawned on me. It's no wonder, he said, I'm looking for a city that has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. Friends, things that are here today can be gone tomorrow so quickly. Let me show you a picture. I think a lot of you know about the Santa Ana winds. We often hear about those and the great firestorms that it brings. That's a picture of Santa Ana winds bringing the fire in towards the community. When you add winds like the Santa Ana winds with fire, it becomes almost, and I use the word almost, but almost unstoppable. It can suddenly just come and wipe out an entire subdivision. You can take away thousands of homes. And so this fire, you can see it encroaching now upon the city. A city that's filled with, I'm sure, theaters, churches, business places and banks. A city that's filled with a whole lot of things similar to what Abraham was saying. It's here today, but gone tomorrow. The next slide. I think we've all seen were beautiful homes. Homes that were all in the bottom end, 750,000, 2 million, 3 million. Places where I mean, blood, sweat, and tears built them. This was their everything. They gave every minute they had to build. And, you know, friends, I believe with all my heart that God wants you to enjoy this earth while you're here. And so there's nothing sinful at all about building a beautiful home and swimming pools and, you know, all of these things. You work hard, and I think you ought to be able to play hard, enjoy life. And so, you see what was there suddenly gone. My brother Billy, he went out and, as a single young man, he went out and he bought a farm. And it was a small farm, only 40 acres, but it had an old farmhouse. And I was telling Sherry as I was driving through Racine County the other day with her and just going out to get something to eat that night. And, you know, some of the farms, I mean, they're not the kind of farms I grew up with, all right? I mean, this farmhouse that Billy bought, my brother, was a ramshackle old mess. It was a mess. But he spent all of his waking moments working on that house. He spent all the money he had on that house. I mean, if he had a spare second, he was working inside, outside. Easter Sunday morning, a number of years ago, he was awakened with a fire. He got out of his house with nothing other than the clothes he ran out the door with. Being out in the country, away from, you know, fire apparatus, certainly away from any kind of fire hydrants and plugs. By the time the fire department got there and the shuttling of water and whatnot, the house had burned until it fell into the basement, what was left. I stood there with my brother Billy. I could see the outline of a bed frame down in what was now looking directly into the basement, the entire structure gone. I could see the refrigerator that once was in the kitchen, and after the floor burned out from underneath it, it dropped down. I saw things that were made of plastic that were just oozed and, you know, no shape or form or anything left to them. The idea was everything was gone. And here's what Abraham said: I'm looking for a city that has some foundations, something that's eternal, something that's lasting. I can stand here and I can only imagine what he must have seen looking north from Beersheba. There's a mound, there's a city that once was, it's no longer. This is another city, once was, no longer. That's another one, 200 times across the nation, gone. Just like the picture, a city that's enjoying life and full of life, and rightfully so. All it takes is a fire and it's gone. The Bible tells us in Peter, in his epistle, that one day, this earth itself is going to melt with a fervent heat. And I think that that was something that was going through the mind of Abraham. Abraham said, I don't want to live for here. As good as this may be, as much as I put myself and, you know, generation after generation, all of us working together for the same thing, and, you know, I don't know whether it's family businesses or whatever it could have been at that time, but in today's context, it certainly would be. Put everything you've got into it, and it don't stand the test of time. It's gone. You know, I don't know about you, but you know, with all that's gone on since this whole COVID thing, and I got a letter from a missionary that all of you know. He's been here with us, Mike Shields. Mike said, please pray. He said, down in Argentina, Chile, Mexico, and Peru, We've lost hundreds of pastors to COVID. A few weeks ago, my son John had a funeral for a 26-year-old nurse. Died. You know, friends, we've got to live for something more than what we can see with the natural eye. And in these moments of time, I don't know about you. I mean, I've always been excited about heaven. I mean, did I get an amen on that? I'm excited about heaven, you know? But let me tell you, I mean, I'm just trying to be honest with you all. I've been quite happy here too. And I'm simply saying, you know, heaven is great, it's wonderful, but you know, the kind of longing for heaven that I think that God is putting into our hearts in this moment, it's really a good thing. He's saying, leave Ur, get out of town. This is not gonna last. You can give yourself, you can spend, you can work, you can do whatever. And like my brother's house, it's now in the basement, and all that's left is twisted pieces of iron. Make out what that may have been, some lamp or whatever, it's been consumed. And the Lord is saying, get your hands loosened a little bit from this world. Live like Abraham by faith. By faith, he decided, if God says move, I'm going to move. If he doesn't tell me where I'm going, I trust him enough that he'll show me as I get some motion going under my feet. That I'm looking for a city. And friends, let me tell you, there is a city. The Bible tells me about in Revelation chapter 22 that has a foundation that's unshakable. And in this city, there will be no sin. There will be no wrongdoing. There will be no violence. For the former things, there will be no tears, death, or sorrow. For the former things are passed away. And I don't know about you, but there's something inside that says, Lord, I'm ready to leave Ur. I'm ready to go to the promised land. And if that's inside your heart today, God is stirring this within us. And there's something about this moment that's good for all of us. We're saying, I want something that's unmovable. Something that is, I know it's not such a word, undiable, all right? Something that cannot die. Something that cannot be taken away. And I want you to know he has prepared a place for those who love him. And he is coming back one day soon to receive his own. And I want to be ready. I want to be living by faith. Now, Father, this morning we pause for a moment, Lord, to look at our own want, the want of our heart, whether we're nesting like every other generation, whether we're living merely like grandparents, great-grandparents, working the same family business, building, buying, storing all the business of life and not taking care of our soul. Lord, in this moment, I pray, oh God, where there's so much concern and fear in the world today, I pray, oh God, that we would be as concerned about our soul as we are about our skin. I pray, oh God, that like Abraham, we'll live by faith, walk by faith. And I pray, oh God, for those today that are saying, I've got to let go and I've got to take a new grip on life, a spiritual one. And I'm going to walk with God like Enoch. I'm going to live like Noah. I'm going to believe God for things yet unseen. And I'm going to live like Abraham. When God says move, even though it makes no sense in the natural, though it's been always the way it's been done, I'm ready to do it God's way. Father, I thank you that you're raising up a new generation, a generation that's going to be men and women that are going to stand strong. And when the winds blow, they're not going to move. They're going to be unmovable. Father, we're so glad that we can be part of an unshakable kingdom. And when everything else is shaken, we can know that the kingdom of God is unshakable. And I pray, Lord, today, the men and women in this room right now would say, Jesus, I turn to you. I give you my life today. I start out on my journey, and the journey is from here to glory. And I'm going to walk with you until that day when you simply say, up. And we're going to go into the very presence of God. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. And until that time, help us, Lord, to keep walking. Help us, Lord, to keep trucking forward. And we ask this all in Jesus' mighty name. And every child of God said, let's stand together and sing along with Pastor Dan.